This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. I was listening to the beautiful recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our beloved brother and all who connect to the Quran. And I was thinking, in fact, about the very topic we are starting with. And the first question, I want you to really try to imagine this scenario. How would it be if you had one opportunity to hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Quran? How would you feel if Allah blessed you with Jannah and that's the first thing that you said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I want to hear you recite. That's the first thing you heard, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of times people ask about specific instructions when it comes to what are we supposed to do. And many times we forget to ask, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interact with the Quran? كَيْفَ كَانَ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَتَعَامَلْ مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. What did he used to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do we learn with regards to his relationship with the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like listening to anything as much as he listens to the beautiful voice of a prophet, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting the Quran out loud and pleasantly. So imagine we are able to hear him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to then reflect on everything you know of the seerah and everything you heard and learned your entire life and everything you'll hear today, inshallah ta'ala. What did he teach? What did he practice? Number one, for those who are taking notes, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that your character should be the character of the Qur'an. We know two very important starting points here. The first from the Qur'an, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the entire day, you're going to hear his name, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, references, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So increase your salawat upon him, alayhi salatu wasallam. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Aisha would say when she was asked, what was his character like? Tell me about his character. His character was the Qur'an, meaning he exemplified the Qur'an. And these two statements, the first from the Qur'an, that you are upon exalted character, and the second, the saying of Aisha radiallahu anha, it brings us to a very short conclusion. Number one, everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is morally good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you cannot object as a Muslim to his actions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. It is objectively good. The second is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced what was revealed. We read the Quran often, and there are many things we know in our lives, many gaps between what we learn and what we do. You hear backbiting is problematic, and yet we slip into it at times. May Allah forgive us and guide us. You hear that doing such and such is prohibited, disobeying one's parents, hurting other people, abusing others, and yet we slip into these sins. May Allah guide us and forgive us. His character was the Quran. Number two, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to listen and pay attention and reflect when he recited the Quran. So your recitation is a recitation of reflection. You're not reciting to rush, you're reciting to reflect. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَةِ. What's a story that proves this point amongst many others? Listen to this. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reported one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Qiyamul Layl, and he recited one ayah, and he would do ruku' and sujood with regards to just this one ayah. What does that mean? That's all he did, this one ayah in salah. And you and I know if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were hearing that he recited and repeated and repeated and repeated a single ayah, we need to pay attention. We need to pay very close attention. What was this ayah? He was reciting sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, they are your servants. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you choose to forgive them, if you forgive, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. You have the power, the authority, and the wisdom to know who to forgive. Abu Dharr radiallahu anh said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you recited this one ayah and you did ruku' and sujood with one ayah until the morning. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, I asked my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for shafa'ah, for intercession for my ummah, and he granted it to me. It will happen, insha'Allah. Shafa'ah for the ummah, his followers, for all the Muslims until the end of times, for those who don't commit shirk, those who do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite the Qur'an and reflect. Tadabbur is for your well-being. Tadabbur is for your success. Tadabbur is for your happiness. You're not reading the Qur'an to fly through it. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he's talking about tadabbur and he says, if people only realized what they would find if they recited the Qur'an with deep reflection, they would do nothing else. And he gave an example and he said, a person who comes across an ayah and it touches their heart, heals something in their hearts, they would repeat it. Once, twice, he says 100 times. No, rather they would repeat it the entire night. So the next time you read the Qur'an and there's a particular ayah that touches your heart, a passage that hits in a different way on that day or in that moment, that phase of life you're going through, don't rush and move on. Pause. Go back to the beginning of the ayah, the passage, repeat it over and over and over. Take in that moment. This is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What else? Number three, he paid attention sallallahu alayhi wasallam not only when he was reciting, when others were reciting. And we hear the Qur'an often, but we don't listen. May Allah forgive us. What did he do? One time, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, اقرأ علي, recite to me. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل, should I recite to you when it was revealed to you? Meaning, is it permissible for me to read to you when you're the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Look at his humility. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, na'am. In another report, he said, I like to listen to others' recitations. So he started to read from the beginning of which surah? Who can tell us? Surah An-Nisa. He started from the beginning and he's reading and reading and reading and reading. Listen to this. He hits a particular ayah, ayah 41, and he notices the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is crying. He says, Hasbuka al-an, enough for now. He's crying. If you want to know if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy to mankind, you can see it across thousands of examples. This is one of them. What's ayah 41 of Surah An-Nisa? فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Listen to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to Surah An-Nisa. He starts to cry here and he says, stop for now. The translation is what? How will it be when we bring a witness against every nation, meaning a prophet to testify against his people, and we will bring you as a witness against these people. Why is he crying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What might we assume? He's worried about their success. Who's he worried about? The people who are abusing him, people who are insulting him, attacking him and his followers. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, frequently would worry about them. He wants people to be guided, even when they are abusive, they are arrogant. He's praying for their guidance. He's worried about their safety. That is true, genuine sincerity when it comes to da'wah. That you care about others being guided, no matter your ego, your pride, your name, or their reaction to your da'wah, to your message. That applies to Muslims and non-Muslims. That you give da'wah, but you're not affected by how they responded. If they don't accept your message, you don't take it personally. You're still worried. What about their akhirah? You're more concerned for their success than your ego. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clearly a mercy to mankind, is worried, is sad because he has to testify against his own people. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three, as an example, number four, as a practice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions that the Qur'an elevates your status. I want you to think of the world today as much as you know about it in terms of what people chase after. Prestige, social validation, being cool, being accepted, sometimes certain brand names, clothes, certain neighborhoods, whatever it may be. People are chasing after different things, fame and influence and social media, which is a disaster at times. People are chasing after many things. And oftentimes they chase after these things because they believe there's a value in what they're chasing after. You believe it's important. It'll make you happy. It's good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions on dozens of occasions about the best of people. Amongst them, the report of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum, the best of you, man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allama." The best amongst you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. What does this mean? The scholars say, those who learn the recitation, and those who learn it in terms of memorization, and those who learn its meanings. But what's beautiful about this hadith, which is oft misunderstood by many people, oftentimes people hear this hadith and think, well, I'm not amongst those who have memorized the Qur'an, so this doesn't apply to me. Where in the hadith does it say you must have memorized the entire Qur'an? The sahaba would learn a surah, an ayah, a passage, and they would go and start teaching other people. The best amongst you, do you want to be amongst the best? Are you chasing after this social circle, this status, this prestige, which is hidden from people, but it's known to Allah? Learn of the Qur'an and teach to others. What you learn, teach. And make it a habit, generally, as you're learning the Qur'an, to teach something of what you've learned to your family, to your children, to a sibling, to your parents, or to your neighbors, your relatives, your community. But learn and teach the memorization, the recitation. Learn the meanings as well. And what's beautiful about this, you take it to the next level, and you see here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave some good news. That if you want to be amongst an elite group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has amongst mankind a specific group of people, His own group. Now, you and I know today people are chasing, very sadly in a superficial way, after certain types of celebrities. I would love to be seen with them, called out by them, tagged by them, known by them. Who cares about that? If there's a group that is beloved to Allah, chosen by Allah, known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a group that is close to Him. The Sahaba asked, who are they, Ya Rasulullah, manhum? Who are these people? And they're asking why, so they can chase after that, so they can chase something that is valuable. Hum ahlul Qur'an. They are the people of the Qur'an. Ahlullahi wa khasatu. They are the people of Allah. Wa khasatu means specific, close, and there are many meanings to this, but amongst them that they are following the characteristics of His revelation. Because the Qur'an is kalamullah, the speech of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us all good news. If you want to be amongst an elite group, go after the Qur'an. Accompany the Qur'an, befriend the Qur'an, listen to it, study it, live upon it, breathe it, memorize it, teach it, convey it, reference it, reflect upon it. Live upon the Qur'an, die upon the Qur'an. You are amongst the people of Allah. But there's a condition. The people of the Qur'an are not just those who have memorized, no. The people of the Qur'an, as Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah says, are those who live upon the Qur'an internally purified and externally as well. That your internal state is pure because of your connection with the Qur'an, and your actions externally are pure as well. So, Ahlul Qur'an, do not fall into profanity. Ahlul Qur'an are not backbiting and bashing and hurting and harming and abusing other people. Ahlul Qur'an have the character of the Qur'an, following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are always reading the Qur'an, reflecting upon it. Recently, there was a sheikh, many of you know, a qari as well, who passed away, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was always reviewing the Qur'an. And one of the mashayikh, who knows him closely, he said, I would be talking to him, and as I'm talking, I would see his lips moving. I'm talking to him, and his lips are moving. He's reviewing. He completed over 24 khatmas of the Qur'an this last Ramadan, and he passed away just after Ramadan. May Allah have mercy on him. What else? Number five, for those taking notes, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught that the Qur'an is the proof of Islam. The Qur'an is the clear miracle of Islam. How do we know? The largest following on the Day of Judgment will be for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his miracle was not like the miracles of the past. One time, a young student, he said, how come the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get a cool miracle like the splitting of the sea? I said, cool miracle like the splitting of the sea? This is not like a Marvel superhero movie. What are you talking about? The Prophet had something much greater than that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yes, there were miracles that took place at that time, but pay attention to this. What people could see with their eyes or hear was not enough of a proof for those who were arrogant to change their ways. It's not enough for someone to reject. But because there would be no more prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there had to be a final miracle accessible intellectually and spiritually and emotionally to all of humanity until the end of times. and it is the Quran. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me utitu wahyan awhahu Allahu ilay, a revelation Allah revealed to me, and I hope because of it I will have the largest following. Why am I mentioning this hadith? When you read the Quran, brothers and sisters, learn what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, that it is a mu'jiza. You're not reading the words of someone else, a human being. You're not reading a book. Give it respect. Kitabun Aziz, a dignified book. You're reading, reciting a miraculous Quran on your tongue every time you read and every time you listen. So honor it and realize when you are reciting something miraculous, it is preserving you. You are not preserving it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people of the Quran. The next point is the most logistical. So those who are very practical and you want to answer the question we started with, how did the Prophet interact with the Quran? This is for you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a passage, a chapter in one of the works of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah about the guidance of the Prophet with the Quran. What did he used to do? Do you want to know what he did for morning tonight? We'll mention a short example, a summary. Number one, he says, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never fail to recite his hizb of the Quran. Hizb, when you divide up the Quran in terms of the Mus'haf, is 1/60th of the Quran. It's half a juz. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other words, never neglected reading the Quran. His recitation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was slow and pleasant. And he would pause at the end of every ayah, every verse. He would elongate the recitation and the pronunciation of certain words. Kana yamuddu maddan, Anas radiallahu anhu says. So he did not say certain words like ar-Rahim. He would give it its elongation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam always started with isti'adha, a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, before he started reading the Quran. Other times he might say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minash shaytanir rajim, min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthih. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love listening to the Quran from other people. You heard the example, the story of Abdullah radiallahu anh, and the Prophet, his eyes would fill up with tears, meaning he was attentive and humble when others would recite. When would he recite? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite while standing, while sitting, while lying down, in a state of purity, meaning with wudu or without wudu, he would recite sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but never in a state of janaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite in a clear, pleasant tone, and sometimes he would make his voice reverberate. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took his time with the recitation. He recited on all occasions, and I want you to just ask yourself this question. Today, this day, and yesterday, when did you read the Quran? Was it morning? Was it after every salah? Was it while you were driving, interacting? When did you read the Quran? Do you have a Quran teacher, a Quran class? Do you have a recitation to do before Fajr every night as part of Qiyamul Layl? What are your habits? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read the Quran at night, and he would read in the day. He would read in prayer and read outside of prayer. And before he slept, what did he recite? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would read Ayatul Kursi, the most powerful ayah of the Quran. It protects you throughout the night. Number two, he would read Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Read these every night. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites them before they sleep, they will suffice you all night. They will suffice you, meaning what? In reward and in protection. Third, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, into his hands. He would blow three times and then wipe over his body. And then he would read them again, one after the other, blow and wipe over his body, and a third time as well. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recited Suratul Mulk. And of course, the scholars say it is a sunnah, but it's not necessarily known that it was every single night. However, you should try to read it every day. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also recited Suratul Sajda. And then there are other reports about what he read before he slept, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His family sometimes would sleep, like Hanit radiallahu anha, and she said, I heard him reciting, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning in prayer or outside of prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with regards to the Quran, was grateful to Allah. Are you grateful for the Quran? Are you grateful you can hear, you can read? Are you grateful you can pay attention? Are you grateful for the blessing of Islam or the freedom of religion? You have access to reciting the Quran, attending programs like this, Mercy to Mankind. Are we grateful for these blessings? He would recite until his feet swelled up. And he was asked, why are you doing this when your sins are forgiven? In other words, if this is for tawbah, for forgiveness, you're not in need of it. So why are you going to that extent? What did he say? The famous words, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a grateful servant? And this is the point I want to make with regards to gratitude. Recite the Qur'an in proportion to how grateful you are to Allah. Recite the Qur'an in proportion to how grateful you are to Allah. Recite the Qur'an in proportion to how grateful you are to Allah. If you say today, I am grateful for the blessings I can think of and the countless ones I cannot imagine, then recite the Qur'an in proportion to how grateful you are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst ash-shakirin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the Qur'an corrects everything that is corrupted. The Qur'an guides, the Qur'an heals. The Qur'an is everything you need. It is your manual, your worldview. Cling to it, hold on to it, and you will be safe. The Qur'an is your guide, your key to Jannah. It is your guide to being safe in the grave. And if we could conclude, I would conclude with the following. Remember this. When you meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know you've had many years in this world and no excuses, many years to connect to the Qur'an and many programs, many lectures, many recordings, many teachers, you had no excuse. You chased after other things. But what about the Qur'an? If you were to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked you, how much of it did you practice? Did you learn? Did you convey? What did you do with the message that reached you? You don't want to say, I neglected it, Ya Rasulullah. You don't want to say, I didn't recite it enough, O Messenger of Allah. You don't want to say, I ignored it, but I did other things and accomplished many things and made a lot of money and had many degrees. You want to be amongst those who say, Ya Rasulullah, I took it, lived upon it as best as I could, and I tried to practice it until my last breath. Why? What does the Qur'an do for you? What's the conclusion of your journey with the Qur'an? Here's a beautiful way to think about it from A to Z. In the beginning, in this life, the Qur'an is your friend. You took it as a friend. It befriended you, protected you, guided you, uplifted you, gave you strength in times of hardship, comforted you in times of loss and grief. You took the Qur'an as your friend, and as a result, when you entered your grave, the Qur'an came in its own form and interceded for you, accompanied you now as a friend in the darkest moments and lit up your grave. You're resurrected on the most difficult, severe day. And people are chasing, wondering, what will save me on this day? The Qur'an comes to you and shades you, protects you, relieves you, intercedes for you, and pleads on your behalf to Allah until you are forgiven. And it pleads on your behalf in one hadith until you enter Jannah, because you took it seriously as a friend in this world. But it doesn't end there. You cross over hellfire in the waiting area before Jannah. And may Allah grant us and our loved ones the highest levels of Jannah. And as the people of Jannah enter, imagine hearing the command to you. Iqra wartaqi, recite and ascend. Warattil, read, recite. Kama kunta turattilu fid dunya, as you used to recite in this life. For every ayah you recite, you will ascend a rank in Jannah. You're upgraded. And where you recite the last ayah is where you will stay. That's your final home, eternally speaking. The Qur'an, if you accompany it in this world and respect it, love it and cherish it, live upon it, die upon it, will be a source of happiness and success and healing and happiness here in the grave on the Day of Judgment and even in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our loved ones amongst the people of the Qur'an. May Allah forgive us for ever neglecting the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to mankind who recited the Qur'an and taught it out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of well-being for the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are always looking for opportunities to grow and to learn. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from what we hear. وَصَلِ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.